Heavenly Father, we do come to you today and we are thankful. God, we are thankful for our moms. And whether they are with us on this earth at this point, we set them aside in our mind and in our heart, and we honor them. We thank you, God, for the sacrifices that they made. We thank you, God, for the way that they raised and loved us. Maybe not exactly what we thought it would be or should be or could be, and yet, God, we just want to take a moment and say thank you, because they were a part of giving us life. We know that all life comes from you, and so our hearts also turn to you, and we just want to say thank you for giving us life in the most perfect way. And Father, I just want to pray that today we could honor our mothers, God, that we could rejoice for the positive part that they played, giving us life, and many of them, many other blessings. And God, may our hearts also be turned then to you, just to be thankful for the life that you have given us, for the hope that you have given us in your Son, Jesus. And God, I just want to pray now that as we open up your word and look into your heart for things, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come, that your Holy Spirit would be here. We thank you for the promise, God, that says your Holy Spirit is here because we are gathered in your name today. And so I pray that you'd move. I pray that, God, if there's any of our hearts that maybe are not prepared yet to hear from you, that we'd get to that place, God, that you would get to that place where we could hear from you. Lord, I don't know. I don't know how everyone has come into this place this morning, but you know them intimately. You know down to the very deepest places in their heart and soul. And I pray, God, that you would meet them there in that place. You'd meet us all here in that place of the deepest areas, God, of who we are and what makes us up. So, God, we're going to ask for that. We're going to pray for that. We're going to thank you this morning for a great day and pray your blessing upon it and your glory in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Glad you're here with us this morning at Bayside. You know, we're in an interesting place here at Bayside. We come from a lot of different backgrounds. We come from a variety of different family settings. We even sort of in the season we're at right now come from a variety of different kind of religious or church experiences. And yet, we're all here. We're all here in one place, in one time, for this season. And how do we relate to each other coming from so many different places? You know, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at how we can, as one body, relate to each other and how that can bring God glory. The kind of the title of this whole thing is going to be The Glory of One. How can we operate with many different life experiences and family experiences and backgrounds? And I mean, just practically, we come from two different states in this one building. A great majority of us are not even from the same state. And so how do we come together, join together as one, and how does that bring our God glory? The glory of one. Let's start this morning with a verse. We're going to look at a few different analogies, a few different pictures over the next couple of weeks. 1 Peter 2, we're going to read two verses. I think this gives kind of a neat picture that we're going to focus on this morning for the church. 1 Peter 2, let's read verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, that's Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones. You're being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So listen to this. As the church, we are being built up like living stones into a spiritual house, a house that God dwells in. Many stones, one house. You know, God's desire has been from the very beginning to dwell with people. We see this, the first place is in the Garden of Eden, where it says God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And the perfect desire of God is one of dwelling with people. God's heart, why he created us, was to be with us, was to dwell with us. I hope you feel that this morning, that God made you to be with you. that he wants you. He wants to dwell with you. Well, we know that sin came into the garden, caused a big problem. God could not dwell any longer perfectly with his people. We'll see that come back in the book of Revelation at the end times. But then what did God do? Well, then he chose Abraham. He called out Abraham to be his special people, and he dwelt with the Israelites over those years, and he walked with them, and he dwelt with them, and he talked with them. And then eventually, Moses would build a tabernacle, an amazing tabernacle that would be the place then, the physical structure where God would dwell. And in Exodus 40, he finishes the work of the tabernacle. Let's just read one verse from Exodus 40, verse 33. Moses finishing up this dwelling place for God. It says, "And he erected the court around the tabernacle and the altar and set up the screen of the gate of the court. So Moses finished the work." And so Moses finished the job of creating this physical structure that God would then dwell in. I think we have a picture, like they opened up the curtain. Now, this isn't a snapshot. Nobody took a picture when this was made, but this is an artist's rendition. It was just meticulous, the craftsmanship, and sort of like we get an inside look at what this may have looked like inside this tabernacle. Well, then the next verse tells us what happened. As soon as Moses finished the work, then verse 34 says this, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." So when they completed this tabernacle, this physical structure, God's glory just blew in, a cloud covered. I think we have a picture of what they think that may have looked like. There's sort of the tabernacle, and then the cloud that comes in, and then God's very glory and his presence is now in this tabernacle dwelling with people. So God dwelt very clearly among the Israelites through the first tabernacle of meeting. He dwelt with his people around this physical structure. Then, of course, in Solomon's temple, Solomon recreated a new temple, and God's presence dwelt there. When they were settling, the Israelites were settling in Canaan. Then Zerubbabel built another temple, and God's presence dwelt there. King Herod rebuilt that, restructured it, and God's presence dwelt there. And that's the temple we hear about during Jesus' time. And so God's desire from the beginning has been to dwell with his people in a physical, oftentimes a physical structure. Well, let's jump to the New Testament. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 2. We're going to be reading quite a bit out of Ephesians 2 this morning, kind of walking through some of these verses rather quickly. Let's see if there's a new dwelling in the New Testament after Christ. Ephesians 2, let's start in verse 12 to see how sort of this temple has changed. Now, we're gonna walk through some of these preliminary verses to give us a picture of what leads to God's new dwelling place. But let's start in Ephesians 2, verse 12. Now, see if you see some descriptives. This is a picture, this verse is a picture of who we are before Christ, okay? Look at, there's like five descriptives here. "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." You know, before Christ, we were hopeless. Now that's a strong word. We were without hope. How many of you would say, without Christ, before Christ, you were hopeless? Give me an amen. We were hopeless. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you have not trusted in Jesus. Now, that may sound harsh to say you were hopeless, but I'll put it on myself. Before Christ, I may not have known it, but I was totally hopeless. I was without hope in this world. Did you see the five who we were? Here's the five things that we all were before Jesus. Please hear this. We were separated from God. We were alienated from God. We were strangers. We were without hope, and we were without God. We were not a part of his dwelling. We weren't on the in crowd. We were illegal aliens. We weren't citizens of his country. That's who we were. We were hopeless because we were without God. Okay, did something change when we put our trust in Jesus? Let's keep reading verse 13. Verse 13, this is who we are now. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." This is the good news. "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." What he's getting at, what Paul is getting at here is, if you remember in the temple, there was a curtain. And a curtain separated the holy place from the most holy place where God's presence dwelt. And when Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, that temple was torn in two, opening up very access to the presence of God. And now we, all believers, have access to God's very presence, breaking down the physical wall of hostility, the spiritual wall that sin created, put between us and God. It's now broken down because of the blood of Jesus. Verse 15 says, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace. So in Christ, everything changed. It all changed. Where there was hostility, now there is peace. Where there was a dividing wall, now it's broken down. Where there was separation between God and man, now there is salvation for all men, for everyone who believes in what Jesus did. We trust in Jesus, we trust in his blood, and the Bible says we have eternal life. That's the good news, amen? So who are we now? Who we are now? Let's go there. We are one new person who's at peace with God. There's no Jew and Gentile. We're one. There's no separation, and we now have peace. There's no separation between us and God. We have peace with God, we have peace in our hearts, and we can even at times have peace with each other. We're now in, we're in the very household of God. Okay, let's keep reading. Skip down to verse 19. Now we're going to see the blessing. Verse 19, the blessing that comes being in Christ. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. We see two things here pretty clearly. We're not illegal aliens anymore. We're now citizens. We are now citizens of heaven, even though we are ambassadors here on this earth. We're citizens of heaven. We're members of the household of God. Where we weren't a part of his household, now we are a part of his household. The other thing we can see here is Christ is the cornerstone of this house, but there's a foundation of this house that's built on the apostles and on the prophets himself. So what's the blessing? Here's the blessing we've all received. We have a new family, we have a new house, and God's here. We have a new family, we have a new house, and God is here. You know, we all have some type of a physical family. Maybe some of your family members are with you today. In Christ, we have a new family. Maybe you have a house that you go back to. Most of us will. We'll go back to a house. We have a new house. We're part of our spiritual house. And maybe at times in your house that you go back to, maybe at times it feels like God's really there, but maybe at times it feels like he's not. Well, you know what? You have a new family, you have a new house, and God's dwelling in this house. You know, for the Israelites, before Christ, God dwelt in that tabernacle or that temple. Now, there's no longer a physical temple. God doesn't dwell in this building just because we create it and put Bayside Baptist Church on the door. He doesn't dwell here automatically because we call this a church. He doesn't dwell in physical buildings made by man. He now dwells spiritually amongst his people who are spiritually one family. He now dwells among us. You know, we could go outside if it was a little warmer. We could go outside and have a service right out on the lawn. And God could dwell with us just as easily on that lawn as he could in this building. He doesn't dwell amongst us because of this physical structure. You know, he dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 6 says we are the very temple of God. God dwells in us here through the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us here through his very presence. Think about this. Everything that God did concerning the children of Israel in a physical way was a shadow of what he does in our lives today. Everything that he did with the Israelites physically was a shadow or a pre-picture of what he now does in us spiritually. All right, let's read the final verses from this morning. This is now the reality. This is where we're going to focus, where we're going to narrow in, think where we're going to have a little application this morning. Verses 21 and 22. In whom, that's in Christ, the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. What's going on? We're being built into a big, beautiful house for the Lord. As Peter said, we are all little individual living stones. And we're being built as individual stones into a holy house. Now, what's the reality? Here's the reality. We are joined together as living stones in this house. Many bricks, one house. Many stones, one temple. I want to focus in for a moment on those words, joined together. Here's the heart of where we're going to go this morning. That Greek word, it's two English words, it's one Greek word. It's the word sunomologeo. Don't have to worry about that. Here's what it means. That's the heart. This is how we are to relate to one another. We are to be joined together. Here's what it means. We are to be in union, companionship, harmony, to join close together, and organize compactly. Okay, let me repeat that. This is how we are to be one to another. Union, in companionship, in harmony, to join close together. I notice most of you have space between you and your neighbor. If you want to squish together, if you're feeling this, all of a sudden, this sudden urge to like squish with the, it's okay, you can do that. There you go. I got a little squid. That's beautiful. We are in union companionship to join close together. I can see some people moving further away. That's a little creepy, Mark. To join close together and to organize compactly. What does this mean? We are to be in companionship. We are to be in close, intimate relationship. We are to have fellowship together. That means I'm connected to you and you're connected to me. That means I need you and you need me. That means we are as codependent as you could get. Not in a bad way. We are codependent, we are correlated, we are interconnected in closeness. Now, I'm going to just be honest with you. This idea, when I started thinking on it, totally stretched me this week. Totally got to me. Now, please hear this. I want my life to bring God glory. How many of you would like your life to bring God glory? Say amen. 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 I want that. I want His presence in my life. How many can you say amen? Amen? I want His presence. I want His glory. I want my life to be fruitful. Amen? Amen. I want to have an impact. I don't want to waste this life. I want my life to have an impact for His kingdom. How many of you, amen? But am I ready to live closely interconnected with His people? Am I prepared? I want His glory. I want a life of fruitfulness. I want a life of impact. But am I ready to tie myself together with you? Am I ready for that? That stretched me. This flies right in the face of our culture. And it flies right in the face of our flesh. Our culture is wildly independent. Look at how many homes have so much space between them and their neighbors, and then if they don't have space, they put a fence. I have a fence. We like our space. We like our things. I want my stuff to be my stuff. I'll interact with you from a distance. This flies right smack in the face of our culture. We have to fight culture if we are going to live closely compacted together. This is not our way. This is not our style. Our style is to be separated, cordial, but at a distance. This also flies right in the face of our flesh because our flesh and my flesh is imminently selfish. It is selfish to the core. And if I'm going to live joined with you, if I'm going to live closely in relationship with you, then that means I have to think about you. That means I have to care and focus on you. That means I have to get my mind off of myself and think about you. It flies right in the face of our culture, and it flies right in the face of our flesh. This is not natural. That's why God is the builder of this house, because it's only supernaturally the way that this can happen. I realized something this week. Maybe it's because of the age of my kids. But hear this. We are like Legos. We got a slide. We are like Legos. We are like Legos. Legos are cool. Legos are some of the most amazing things. Legos are something, they are built. They are built, they are designed to join together to build something. That's why they are created. If we can get the ushers, I have a gift for you this morning. It's not specifically a Mother's Day gift, but it's a gift nonetheless. And I'm going to give every person this morning a Lego. Just one, okay? So ushers, come on forward. You know, normally we pass the plates to have you put in. Now you get to take out. The first time ever, you get to take something out of the offering plate. I'd love every person to please get a Lego. You know, Legos are pretty amazing in the way that they are unique. They are individual. By the way, I'm just going to precurse something here. If you get a Lego that looks like it has some little teeth marks in it, okay, just ignore that, okay? It's still a Lego. It's still going to get the job done. You've done it. You know, a Lego sticks together a little hard, and you got it. Okay, all right. So just live with the teeth marks. We cleaned them, kind of. All right, so Legos are pretty amazing. They're totally unique. They're extremely diverse. They have different shapes. They have different sizes. They have different colors. And yet Legos are designed for one thing. They are designed to connect together, to join together very closely, to build something that is above or beyond what any individual Lego could ever do. I want you to just for a moment think about how awesome Legos are when they're together. There's some amazing things that Legos can build when they join together to build something. You know, we are God's temple. We are God's very building. He is creating us. He's taking us as individual stones, as bricks, as little Lego pieces, and he's creating something amazing with these things. Creating his very temple where he wants to dwell, where he wants to live. He's placing us exactly where he wants. He's putting us in the precise place that he wants so that he can make the building that he's looking to make. He's mortaring us together. He's sticking us together, like laying the bricks and framing it together. So how do we do joined? You know how Legos join. How do we, as living stones in the Church of Jesus, how do we do joined? You know, we can't force this. We can't force connection. I told you there's some challenges because we come from such diverse places. But how do we practically do joined? I wrote a list of a few things. We can't force it, but we have to seek it. Here's some places we can start. I think I have about seven ways we can start joining our lives together. Many, many, many bricks becoming one house. Number one, we can join someone's table at fellowship time. You know, if you see someone and they're sitting by themselves, or maybe there's just a couple people sitting together, don't just sit in your table of many people. Go over there and say, "Would you like to join us? Would you please like to join us?" Don't just sit in your little comfortable place, even though it's good. It's good to have relationship, but if you see somebody sitting by themselves, ask them to join you. It's a way we can start connecting together. Or if you are getting ready to find a spot and there's only one or two or three of you and you see an empty table, but then you see a table that has a few people, ask if you can join them. So don't wait for somebody to ask you if you can join them. Join a table at fellowship time. Don't sit by yourselves. Don't expect anybody else to sit by themselves. Join. Find a place to join or ask someone to join you. Do you have to get out of your comfort zone? Yes, you do. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. Why? Because we were built to be joined. We were built for this. Second thing, join a ministry and start serving here at Bayside. One of the best ways to start connecting is to join a ministry. Find a place you can start serving. The bulletin has ideas almost every week on places and how you can start serving. Third thing, join a small group or a quest group. Our small groups are continually ongoing. Our quest groups are starting ever throughout the year. Put it on your connection card if you want to join a small group or you want to join a quest group. It's a great way to build some fellowship, build some connection. You don't have to do all of these, but these are ways that you can start to join. We can start to join together as one. Fourth way, Join with someone in prayer. You know, after the service, we have prayer times. I've noticed many times in our fellowship time out there, we have people that are just getting together in a table and they're just praying for each other. And on Wednesday night, we had a wonderful time of prayer, lifting up some people who are having some health concerns. When you join with someone in prayer, it connects you together. Something powerful about that. Fifth thing, join with someone in their suffering. You know, when somebody is hurting, when you join with them in their suffering, it pulls you together. You know, if you hear of something, or maybe something comes down on the prayer chain, and you hear of somebody suffering, and you call them or email them during the week, and you just say, you know, how you doing? I know you were hurting this week. I know things were going rough for you this week. What a great way to solidify, to start pulling us together as one. When you know someone is hurting, join them in that suffering. Pray for them, but also join them and tell them that you're thinking about them. Six, join with someone in their life when they're celebrating. When someone is celebrating, we hear good news, or we give, you know, Wednesday nights we have testimony time, and when you hear somebody give a testimony, join them in celebrating. Tell them, man, that was just awesome. I'm so happy for you. That's just so cool. Join them, and that will pull you together. It'll join you together. Final thing, and this encompasses all of them, join with someone in life. Join with someone just in life. Have them over to your house for dinner. Have them, take them out for coffee. Just get to know people at some level, because what it does is it just starts to join us together. You know, we got to take that proactive step. We have to be proactive. I think many times we're waiting for someone else to be proactive into our life. I can't tell you how many times I've been to other churches. When I was with Youth for Christ, there were so many churches that I visited. And there was a part of me that constantly said, I'm going to wait for someone to join with me. I'm going to wait for someone to take the proactive step into my life. And they rarely did. They rarely did. But then when I thought, you know what? No. Bad way of thinking. I'm going to join with them. I'm going to take the proactive step and seek to join someone else in their life. And all of a sudden, I started to connect. You know, I want to encourage you, if no one has connected with you, then please find a way to connect with them. Find a way to proactively get out and start connecting with them. We got to do that. We got to do that. Why? Our house isn't finished yet. It's not fully built. One of the amazing things that I saw over this week as I studied the church, and please hear this, I was amazed at how often God's glory was tied, I mean completely intimately tied, to how we as his people dwell together in unity. I couldn't believe how often God's glory was all about how his people live together as one. The glory of God because of the oneness of his people. You know, this is not optional for us. We are one body. We are one building. So, I did some building myself this week. Yesterday. I started a house. Did anybody wonder what was under here? The revealing. Dun, dun, dun. I started a house. It's not impressive yet. But I want to show you this house. Can you see that? That's just the start of a house. That's a Lego house. How many of you played with Legos? Give me a hand up if you played with Legos. You're going to get to play with Legos today, whether you have or not before. Anybody guess what this is? That's not a chimney. What does that look like? Yeah. That's the chief cornerstone. Awesome. And who is that? That's Jesus. That's Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Cornerstones always was the first one set, and it gave stability, it gave direction, the foundation was built upon the cornerstone, and if the cornerstone was set right, the entire foundation and the house would then be solid and secure. This is our cornerstone. Anybody know what these next two levels are? Do you remember from Ephesians 2? What's our foundation? The apostles and the prophets. Yeah, so we have two layers of foundation. And we do have a door, because in Revelation it says there was a gate. And the gate was, does anybody remember what the gates were made out of in Revelation? Pearls. Yeah, that's why it's white. This is the beginning of our our spiritual house here at Bayside. And what we're going to do this morning, I gave you that Lego not to keep. I gave you that Lego to build with. You know, I was thinking about this. There are no Lego sets with only one piece. Right? That wouldn't be, man, get this new Lego set. It's so awesome. It's one piece. You know, look at your Lego. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't you like to play with that for hours? There's no one-piece Lego sets because Legos were created to join together. The power in Lego is that they can join together and they can build something that is above and beyond what any individual Lego could ever be. You know, our culture and our flesh tell us, just be one Lego. Be your own Lego. Or maybe join with just your biological family Legos. You know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 Legos, however big your family. Just join with those, and you can build something cool with that. And I think that is a great picture. But what he's telling us, and from Ephesians and Peter, he's telling us, you know what? No, I created you to be more. I created you to be a part of a house that is bigger, and that's more glorious, and that's more awesome. And I created you to be a part of a house where I actually want to dwell. I want to live in that house. I want to be a part of that. My very presence is going to stay there. Now, I do also know this. Joining together as brothers and sisters takes us out of our, what? Comfort zone. It takes us right out of there. I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to take you out of your comfort zone. I'm going to ask you to come up, put your piece on this house. I'm going to ask you to come up when you're ready to say, you know what, I'm going to join my life. If you are not a part of this church, maybe you're a visitor. Praise the Lord if you're a visitor, welcome. If you're in Christ, you're still a part of the body, the household of God. So I'd still like you to come up and build this house with us. Now, we're going to have the praise team come forward, and they're just going to play for a little. They're going to play All Who Are Thirsty. And they're just going to have a time where they pray. And what I'd like you to do is just spend a little bit of time reflecting with God of like, God, have I avoided closeness with my brothers and sisters? Have I avoided connection? And I'm going to be honest with you, I have. There's levels where I'm comfortable, and then there's levels where it makes me a little bit nervous. And I'm not asking you that this is going to get all freaky and crazy. I'm saying in a big picture, in the spiritual house, we are connected. We need to be joined as one because God tells us we are. We're a new family with a new house, and God wants to be here. So the praise team's going to play, and I want to encourage everybody, as you're preparing to go, we're not going to sing a last song this morning. Normally we do that. We're not going to sing a last song. We're going to end just a little bit reflective. Okay, we're going to take a little bit of time and say, God, have I avoided connection at some level?